Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to, finally, I got the hit record. Come on, Kirk. Let's start business here.
We start about 20 minutes before we start, and then said Fred goes, yeah, we ought to put, you know, hit the record button.
And that's right. Said, so that's Kirk Gray, and this is Fred Schenkelberg. And by the way, Kirk, you know, what started this is that I mentioned that this is our 700th episode. 700 episodes.
Amazing.
And we had to look, but you were the first person. You and I did the first two in Speaking of Reliability, and was, do you remember the topic? It was on HALT.
Right.
It's, can you pass HALT? And we ended up talking about it for about 15 minutes and then did a couple other things. And then what are we going to talk about the rest of the, you know, episodes?
Yeah. And we never ran out of topics over what, 6 years now? Five? How many years have we been?
Oh, I could check. So we're, you know, when this one should come out in late October of 2021, the first one went out, in September 15th in 2015. So we're just over 6 years.
Yeah. And HALT is still extremely relevant and useful.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say some of the prediction models are not, but yeah. HALT will. The approach and as a philosophy and the methodology and the frame of reference of HALT. Those are the important aspects of HALT, not a chamber, not a, you know, thermal cycling combined.
Well, we don't have to repeat. Let's link back. Know, we'll link back to the original article.
Right.
But I just podcast. Want to say, but you're exactly right.
It's still very much. Yes.
But that brings up, I think part of it is that we get people sending in comments and questions. Some of it is, as you mentioned, just as I'm getting ready to hit record, is like, but we just love talking about this stuff.
Right.
You know, and we do. And anybody that calls us or sends us an email, we'll get their ear talked off if they ask intelligent questions, you know, kind of thing. We'd love talking about this stuff. And so what I wanted to do is reflect on, you know, why are we doing 700 episodes? But I think there's a bigger piece of this is we also have the reliability.fm, which has 11 different shows in it. It's a podcast network. And then we also have, I think over 2,600 articles from 20 plus authors, including yourself and yours truly, on Ascendo. We have hundreds of webinars. We have over 1,600, so which 700 is this show, of podcast episodes. We've got a lot of content available, and it's all free, right? You can, if you can find it, you can enjoy it.
Right.
But besides just enjoying talking about reliability, why do you write articles or share your content? You wrote a book, you're not making a killing living on it, but you spent a lot of time sharing and lot of knowledge, right?
I'd be starving to death if I was relying on a book income. But no, the whole reason I wrote the book and the reason I talked to you and met, you know, with you and others, especially because at first I saw you at a conference. I think we were at the accelerated stress testing, which used to be a Halt and Haas kind of conference. They don't exist really anymore. But we met in San Francisco, and I said, no MTBF. Here's a rebel. Here's somebody that it really believes there needs to be a change in reliability engineering. And I absolutely had already been on that boat, you know, so I kind of pulled my boat up to your boat and said, hey, we've got something in common.
Yep.
I think MTBF is ridiculous. And some of the models that come up with these ideas are been 20 years, you know.
Well, longer than that. We've been talking about it for that.
Right. So I said, you know, this is a guy who knows there needs to be a change. And I said there needs to be a change in reliability engineering and the approach and the frame of reference. So when we got together, I said, you know, I'm always stimulated by the challenge of trying to understand and you know, change, give a new frame of reference that Greg Hobbs, gave me. Mm-hmm. I already had the New Primer reference on the fact that I was already doing field service work in repairing complex semiconductor equipment, and I'd seen lots of failures along the way, and actually repaired stuff. And I knew that there was really, it wasn't a matter of, you know, wear out modes of systems. It was somebody not assembling something correctly, or a mistake in the operator using it, or there was just a lot of other reasons. When I got to reliability engineering, traditional reliability engineering, using the models and everything, I said, this just, you know, doesn't jive with my experience of why things fail. Yeah. And what I've looked at in failure analysis. But it was well established, and you being a CRE guy, certified reliability engineering, and me not, I have a different frame of reference.
Well, yeah, don't blame me on the CRE stuff.
You know, the body of knowledge is still focused a lot on MTBF and still uses
I tried changing that too. It's, I think, another rebel cause that didn't quite work. But mm-hmm. I also, I mean, besides the podcast, I write it's called CRE preparation, but it's basically mm-hmm. short tutorials about, mm-hmm. like you were just talking about HALT. Well, what is HALT? What's the basics of this? And then what is a hypothesis test? How do I actually do the statistics to compare these things? And mm-hmm. it ranges over the entire body of knowledge. And I say, this is MTBF. This is why they want you to know it for the test, because they can test it easy, but never use it. So I draw the line there. The idea, though, I think is beyond that we wanted to change stuff. I think we wanted to educate people, to encourage people. And part of it is, you know, we get messages on a regular basis that say, thanks for your show. Thanks for your articles. Thanks for allowing me to learn this stuff, you know, because mm-hmm. I didn't really have a good, I have some textbooks and a few other things, but they're all out of date and they don't seem to make sense compared to what we're talking about. And I think that's the key, is that we're providing a backstop for people to go to Google, find the article they need, find some concepts, be exposed, subscribe to the podcast. You get exposed to all kinds of ideas and stuff and where to go look. To me, it's not to change things. It's to help others, like Greg Hobbs helped you, and I had my mentors, to really understand fit reliability engineering. And what's available and what works and what really doesn't work. And
right.
I think we're bringing our experience, and I know I can speak for Carl and Chris also, is that it's bringing that experience to people that otherwise don't have access to it, because we can't be in every company and be a mentor to everybody. But through this podcasting and blogging and articles, we can. And so right. I think that's the greater purpose of it. And along the way, yeah, we're definitely in areas that, no, that just doesn't make any sense. Don't do that. And right. Other areas is like, yeah, you're on the right track. Do detailed right. failure analysis. Get it right.
I agree that we're trying to educate new individuals, engineers, other people that may not be even directly involved in reliability about what reliability and how to develop reliability in new products. That's my main focus, not the reliability of maintenance or issues on the plant floor, you
right,
know,
right.
that's after the fact, aftermarket. But along with the thing that we're doing and educating people is we're trying to educate them on better ways of doing something, right?
Well, it's better ways of doing it, but also better ways of thinking through it. You and I and others have always right. said is, no, you got to think this through. You got to actually right. understand the physics and chemistry, what's happening here. Like we mm-hmm. were chatting about, you know, some project that, and you said, and then they have a bunch of this oxygen becomes available. And you and I both went, oh, that's an oxidizer. It's flammable hazard. It does this. Mm-hmm. It does that. It attacks rubbers and seals and gaskets, and it breaks down lubricants. And so we listed like 15 things that this is not a good thing to have floating around in your system.
Yeah.
High concentration right. of oxygen.
Right, right. But those kinds of things are, right, part of the design process. And you know, it's a mixture of, like, once they get it designed, once they get a new system designed or new technology designed, it's the durability over time. That's what reliability is, mm-hmm. is, you know, operation and reliability is over time. So accelerating those things and trying ways to do it is what I see is fundamental to developing reliability. I mean, it's like the quote from David Packard, I think, right? About, you know, really to paraphrase, he said the way to achieve reliability is to build it, to test it, to understand what fails and
make it better, fix it,
make it better, and do it again. And it's just an iterative process. And in a, you know, in his quote, he says models and, you know, some equations may help you to some extent, but the reality is when you build the assembly, that's when the real problems become. And you, I don't, you know, there's also a philosophy that you can't, the same people that designed it can't see what they've made mistakes in their design. In other words, Einstein.
It takes a different intelligence. Frame of reference to solve something that can't solve otherwise. Yeah. There's some quotes around that, but I think part of what we keep talking about is the attitude towards reliability. It's not pull out the standards and do the same test every time. You know, it's at 80 degrees C at 80 RH for 100 hours. Oh, therefore it must be good. We're like, no, reliability isn't just running a handful of tests. Reliability isn't doing success testing and that's all you ever do. You never have failures. Or using the standard that says get 77 parts from 3 different batches, and if any of them fail, you're not good. And they don't tell you to do failure analysis. They don't tell you to do anything else. It's like, and so the pressure is to make it pass, right?
Well, that's the fundamental, I see a fundamental shift. And what Greg Hobbs taught me, mm-hmm. and what I try and the frame of reference I try to bring to any developmental project is that basically reliability is looking is, you know, from a, first of all, design for using good design rules, but then finding those weak links. Mm-hmm. That's really it. The latent defects, the missing things that you didn't know were going to occur over time.
Yeah. And that's that Bill's, that build test part. The test part is not test. Right. And if it passes, it's all good. No, exactly. You test it to find what fails.
That's where I would say with David Packard's quote is that, that critical word test. And to me, what has happened historically in the past is like you just said, test to pass.
Right.
And what I am personally trying to say is test to where you see some change, some failure, something you could even, you can identify and then compare between samples and look at, but you're never going to have enough really the samples you want to get statistically, you know, valid.
No, right. But you've learned something when you get some failures. Yeah.
Right. You only learn something when you reach a limit. Now, some people call it this, you know, destruction. Yeah. Okay. It's a materials limit. It caused catastrophic failure. But like with digital electronics, you can heat them up and they'll probably fail to function. And that's an operational failure, but that gives you a limit, an inherent limit.
Yeah, because your function's not there anyway. But so going back to the idea of Ascendo and all this stuff that we're doing, and part of it is to educate, part of it is to create change in our industry and the associated industries. I think there's, but how do we tell if it's successful? I mean, how would you define we're successful? No, not with the products. Because we're not designing any products.
Educating people?
Yeah. How do we know? Because we're not handing out certificates. We answer questions just about every day, you know, for one person or another and through different vehicles. And we get comments on our articles and we respond to those. We've got people that are visiting the site and listening to podcasts, and we're getting responses and feedback and on occasion, and it keeps growing. But is that success, or how would you know that we were actually successful with this experiment of not a professional society and not a trade magazine, but Ascendo? How would it be successful?
I think your number of hits, you know, the people that are following you and logging in, listen to these podcasts and listening to all your other podcasts from reliability leaders are really, I mean, that's a lot of it. I mean,
well, that's a piece of it. I call those, that's a vanity measure, because we could go pay a group to go click on the podcast and download it 400 times and we get a gazillion downloads, but that's just a vanity. But if somebody is listening to it, we hope they do something with the information they get.
Right. But once again, I get back to an old theme of why, you know, this kind of information that we give out a lot of times is limited because of the fact that real reliability data is extremely protected and extremely sensitive and is never generally released without a legal court order because of the fact that it is so competitively important to, well, in a competitive market, it is so critical to the market that your customers don't find out that you have a major inherent flaw, or you did, or something that he just bought a year ago, you know, has this design change to prevent something from happening. So it's really a difficult subject for all the engineers that have seen and witnessed lots of failures and done failure analysis to ever discuss. It's so much information is hidden behind NDAs and companies that I would just love to show, you know, that 80 to 90, and I would say more, are because of mistakes, because overlooked margin, because of not because.
My favorite by far is a mistake where this guy says, well, silver is such a good conductor. Let's put that on the circuit board. And then it was, you know, it was just little beautiful Christmas trees all over the place where silver said, oh, I like that feeling. Let's go over there. Let's go over here. Let's make our own circuit.
Right. So, right. The interactions, interfaces between materials, those kinds of things that had never been done before are new technologies that you're scaling up. Those kinds of things are really can't be talked about.
The guiding rule, though, here, Kirk, is that we can talk about, you know, capacitors crack, you know, metals oxidize and rust, essentially, and by dissimilar metals. We can talk about failure mechanisms, but we can't show the really cool pictures that has a logo next to it. That we just can't get away with that.
No, I think you have somebody that was sharing a lot of from his failure analysis lab. And those were interesting photos.
I saw Shane's stuff. His stuff's pretty cool.
Deaminations, cracking solder.
All kinds of cool stuff, but great pictures. Yeah.
Right.
And there's a few people that do that and talk about it. I think we can get to it that way. But I remember when I worked at Hewlett Packard, we were seeing a real uptick in a particular failure mechanism. And I would call CALS, and I would call their test lab, and I would call a couple of the bigger failure analysis labs that I had contacts in. Are you seeing this? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, or not. And it was a way for me, is this an industry thing or is this just us?
Right.
But you have to know who they are. I think that's part of it. I mean, part of what we're trying to do, the other part of what we're doing with the podcast, and it's not as effective because it's you and I talking to an audience. And we do get comments and questions back. It's not enough for me to call it really successful. The site has comments and ways for people to leave comments and questions, and we have the LinkedIn ability and stuff. But is it really a community? You know, is it the go-to place to do professional development and be aware of what's going on? I don't really know how to measure that. You know, the number of visits and the number of downloads, you know, if they keep going up, I think it's an indication that we're either going on the right direction or we're counting the wrong things. I don't know.
I don't think anybody that's not, you know, interested in reliability is really listening to it, but I think you're building up a much broader reliability world here. And it's kind of it covers a lot of ground. I mean, you have the aftermarket, the maintenance guys.
We have lots of maintenance, asset management stuff.
Yeah, right.
We have risk and quality, a little bit of safety.
Right.
They're all related to what we do. Right. And so it's you need to be aware of a lot of that stuff. I haven't found somebody that really writes about warranty and financial impact of reliability and asset management. That would be interesting.
Good. Yeah, because that's where that's where we, you know, the traditional question that any management will ask is, well, how much are we going to save with this process?
Right. Or how much is it going to cost us if we ship it?
Destroy or potentially destroy three of our products, you know, and what's my payback? Well, I don't know yet, you know.
We'll figure it out. But there's ways to go about doing these things, but they're, you know, in large cases, just a guess and a lot of assumptions. But you come into it with history and go, you know, in general, a product like this, we might not find anything useful, but we also might find five things really useful. And let's
But we need to find something. Okay. Yeah. That's the thing. It's just to test and not see anything happen. No change, nothing. Yeah. There's nothing measurable.
It's not time to celebrate.
You didn't do anything. Unless you find a shift, a change, some material wear that you can measure, or a change in parametrics or something.
Something.
You know, you've got to have something that you can compare samples together, or say, you know, they all follow a stress response curve of some sort. A lot of things will.
Yep.
And you can find, you know, all samples should generally follow the same curve. If you find one outside that curve radically, then you've got something to study. You've got an outlier. If it fails early, I've used examples of power supplies blowing up, you know, two, making it to 80 degrees and then one failing at 65 degrees or 60. You've got something to study. Without that, you're just testing to pass and checking a box. And that doesn't really benefit anybody or any company, except your manager showing paperwork that, you know, somebody's done something for reliability.
Right. So within 700 episodes that we've got out, and we have a few bonus episodes, so we're a bit over 700. But the idea is that every episode, there's comments on math, there's on approaches, on culture, on problem solving, on failure analysis, on testing. Design practices, we have maintenance discussions and maintenance practices and asset management practices. The overall intent is to share what we know, and that's not the end game. The end game is that the folks that are listening or reading or engaging with us learn from that and improve their ability. I think their ability to create reliable products helps us. We get better widgets in our kitchens or wherever, right? It uses less energy. I did a webinar the other day that was on how reliability, if it just works, it avoids the landfill. So that's green. You know, that's good for the environment. There's the overall purpose of all of this sharing of information and stuff is one, we've got the information to share. We feel passionate about it. All of the hosts and authors on Ascendo or associated with Ascendo have experience and want to share it. And the intent is not to just get it off our chest. As much as I love talking to you, Kirk, it's really the idea is to prompt a discussion in a way that helps other people understand these concepts and so that they can do a better job. And the hard part is that, you know, once in a while we get a message saying, hey, thanks for all the articles or thanks for the podcast. It really helps me think this through and have really changed my program and we're doing great things. And that's very rewarding. So to me, the way to measure success is by finding out those stories of people that have taken this information and run with it and done a great job. And then even better is they come back and say, hey, I want to tell our story. Can I get on the platform to, you know, share what we did based on what you've taught us? To me, that would be the most successful is we have another generation of folks come along and say, hey, we've got experience now and we're going to take what these folks taught us and build on it and do even the next step and help the next generation. To me, the long-term purpose is to create a platform or a structure of this regular ongoing discussion of what works and what doesn't work and to help the next person along. And I think that to me would be the success part of it.
Well, I agree. And I think that, you know, a big that entails learning and sometimes change. Yep. And, you know, I'm a big change agent. So that's even more than the no MTBF guy that you are.
Well, you know, let's go back to our very first episode. So can you answer this question in one word? Can you pass HALT?
No.
Okay. So we've come all this way and we finally got a short answer from you. So I think we're good. So if you're listening to this and you have some thoughts about what you would like, you know, these podcasts to do for you, or what have they done for you, or the Ascendo Reliability site, you know, what have you taken away? We'd love to hear those stories. But if there's something missing, you know, as we talk about it in every episode and on the site and the newsletter, is if you got a question or you've got an idea or a suggestion, let us know. Join the conversation. You can do that over at ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and you can find a way to leave us a voice message, or you can write a comment message out. You can find Kirk and I and the other hosts over on LinkedIn or on our about. We have contact information and forms on our about pages. So if you want to send a message to a particular person, you certainly can. But it's, to us, it really works when we answer your questions. We help you think through something or help you solve a problem. So please do join the conversation. Learn as you go. If you got something to share, let's talk so you can get involved in doing that. And like, I don't know, Kirk, it just makes my day when I get a comment or a message, and especially a good juicy question. And right. That mean to me is an indicator that we're on the right track. And so far, the last 6 years with the show, it's been a fun. It's been great fun. And we haven't run out of topics yet.
No, I don't think we will, Fred, as long as there's, you know, electronics being built or systems, and there's always going to be reliability issues.
That's right.
It's kind of inherent into a development process.
It's job security for us.
But I also hope that we're improving things in the long run as far as efficiency of development of reliability and in new products. For me, I know the guys in maintenance have different ways of, you know, maintaining a plant, but I'm really focused on getting that product out there and mature reliability at product release. So that's what I want to do. And I'm passionate about helping others really be efficient in practical applications of testing. Yeah. That's a big part of it. And we appreciate everybody listening. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks. Well said, Kirk. And thanks all for listening. And this is your first episode, there are 699 other episodes you got to catch up on. You know, take your time. They're usually short, a couple hours worth. Yeah. But, you know, if you had a long road trip or a flight coming up, you can take us along. We'd appreciate that. But do let us know what's on your mind, and we'd love to hear from you. So with that, Kirk, we'll sign off on our 700th episode and look forward to the next 700.
All right. Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Kirk. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.